Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
How many are having a good day so far? Yeah? All right. We put the fan on. Were you wondering what that was? Were you listening going, what is that noise? I was doing the same thing. I'm going, what is that noise? We put the fan on, yeah. We're trying to help regulate the heat a little better in the place here. So it was the hot topic of our board meeting. The temperature of the building. All right. Brings to mind, though, something that's, to me is key. Because in our church operations, we get quickly transfixed on so many elements, so many issues. Is the chair comfortable enough? Is my seat the right spot? Are my friends going to be there? Is the temperature going to be right? Is the kids' ministry going to be good? Are my kids going to want to go? I mean, the list goes on of all the things that we talk about in our spirituality, in our Christianity. And every once in a while, I think we need to be coming back again to the reminder of why do we do any of this? Why are we bothering with any of this? Because too often we get pushed out and we begin to forget what it's all about. It's about being with Jesus. It's about experiencing God. This morning in the service, I don't know about you, but I was just, it wasn't just the music. It was the presence of God in this place, right? I see nodding heads, because there's an agreement, many of you that recognize, yeah, we come here to worship, and it's amazing when the Spirit of God shows up. And so many times in my life, I have embraced the presence of God. I'm a very logical thinker, so I tend to think, you know, scientifically and logically, and I like things to make sense, A plus B equals C, and I like it when it works that way. But I have discovered since I was very, very young that you can't scientifically figure out God. He just is. And you experience him, and he meets you, and you meet him. And I had the privilege of growing up in a Pentecostal church, various Pentecostal churches, from a big one in Victoria to a little tiny one in Golden that was so small when the pastor said, "Dearly beloved," my mom blushed. Okay, but everywhere I went, there was this experience of recognizing we're here to meet with God. We're here to meet with God. We're here to spend time with God. And so many times I'm just sitting there worshiping in the service, and all of a sudden I'm just like this, the presence of God comes. And it's like it's hard to explain. We can use all kinds of terms, and we could try to explain it best we could, but it's something, as they say, is more often felt than telt. It's a recognition of just something you know. Like, if you've ever experienced the presence of God, you just know what I'm talking about. And it's the idea that there's this comfort, there's this love, there's this affirmation, there's this reminder that comes over you that God has got this all figured out. There's a song we used to sing, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. That's one of those, that's part of that experience that, you know, you come into a Sunday service and the week has been hectic and it's been this and it's been that and there's pressures. You know, anyone have a hot water tank blowout on them this week? Yeah, I did. You know, and you could go, oh, it threw my Friday off. through my, I got so messed up on Friday. I missed my 10 o'clock meeting because I was dealing with a hot water tank. And then, and then I missed my 11 o'clock meeting because I hadn't got to my calendar at the right time. And it was just a schmoz. And I was like, this whole thing threw me off. And all those kinds of things. You miss a meeting or something didn't happen quite right. And you go, and then when you come into a service or times like this where you're just waiting before God, you're reminded, who cares? Who cares? What does it matter? Right? It's in times like this where, you know, during the week, I look around and I might, if you're a car guy, you're guys sometimes like to examine cars and, did you hear the new 2025? It's got this upgrade, it's got this, you know, and you talk about cars and then you start thinking about, well, I think I might need to trade my car in, you know. Somehow you start to get dissatisfied with your car and you realize that, you know, I need some bells and whistles and it's so frustrating when I get in, I bang my knee on the steering wheel and every time, Lisa, pull the seat back when you're finished out of the car. Like, you know, how do you even drive like that? But, you know, I pull the seat back and I'm like, duh, I got to get one of those cars. When you touch it, the seat automatically goes to your spot, right? And I need that. Now I get to the service on Sunday or I'm in a devotional time, whatever it might be. Quite often it's just this beautiful time that we set aside here where I just stand for God, and you know what? The things of earth grow strangely dim. I just don't care. I don't care. I always think, my Mazda's 8 years old. Yeah, I should trade it in. And then I sit here and I go, who cares? It's running. Just drive it. What does it matter? You know, like this is a part of the experience of our salvation, experience of knowing God. And it's always my prayer that you will know God. It's always my prayer that when we come in here, that you will know what I'm talking about. Because I don't know that I could logically convince you. I don't know I could give you a book to explain it. I can do Bible studies and we can help unpack theologically some of the understandings of who God is, but I don't know that I can communicate to you what that is to just meet God, to just know Him, to know Him. The Bible says to know Him who has life is a life eternal, to know who Jesus is. So my thoughts today was to jump into Matthew chapter 9 and 10, and I'm going to might be a little scattered on some of this, but my thinking was we're going to start into Matthew 5 next week. So I know I ended with us ending the chapter 4, and we should logically go into chapter 5, but I had set that this week, you know, let's just see what the Lord wants for this Sunday, and I set February for walking through the Sermon on the Mount. So today, I'm actually going to jump you over to chapter 10. To chapter 10, and we're going to look at the end of chapter 9, a couple of verses there, and a little bit into chapter 10, and I'm just going to highlight a couple of things, because in my heart, I was bemoaning that we didn't do the week of prayer, and some of you have asked me, hey, are we not doing a week of prayer? We didn't do a week of prayer? That's right, we didn't, and it's one of those things where I'm going to confess to you, I don't know what happened over Christmas, New Year's, everything just seemed to blur. Why is it like that? Why is time getting faster? I don't understand. But it just seemed like a blur, and all of a sudden there was just like, no, we don't have a week of prayer. And I'm just like, Lord, that's not right. And again, I'm coming back to this point. There is nothing more important than the presence of God. There is nothing we can do apart from Him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what He said. Right? So we have to recognize, and those week of prayers and times like that are always those places where we come together and we remind ourselves that we need Him. Every Sunday technically is like that, because every Sunday is a time to come back. And why we give a lot of time on the agenda to our music and our worship. Not because we love concerts or anything like that, but because we do believe that every Sunday should have this strong element of just waiting upon God, of just letting the Holy Spirit speak into our lives. And that's a little bit what a week of prayer is like. It's just a little extended time where we can get together and we can just say, Lord, this all is up to You. This is dependent on You. This is what we need, You to move. I don't want to build a church. I can't even build a church, right? We can only make disciples. God builds the church. But I can't organize as a lead pastor a church and say we're going to structure it for growth. We're going to structure it to get everything done, right? There are things I feel we need to do, and I think there are priorities that we have, but those priorities are dependent on the moving of the Holy Spirit. They're depending on what God's going to do and our willingness to let the Holy Spirit work in us. So I wanted to point that out to you today. And so I got really what I'm going to call a mini vision sermon, in that I'm going to take you back to our three key factors, right? Our three key factors, which is we are committed to grow, we are committed to connect, and we are committed to serve. This is the three priorities that we wanted to lay out in the church. Do you have that slide, the three commitments, that one? We are committed to these things. And in our heart, this was through seeking God and through waiting upon the Lord. We just felt like these are the three things we just constantly want to be about. We want to grow, we want to connect, and we want to serve. And so I wanted to revisit those in light of our dependency upon God and about what Jesus is going to teach us. So starting in chapter 9, at the end of chapter 9, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I'm going to pause there for a sec. Again, and I said to you last week, these are summary statements. Quite often you get a story, and then the author, Matthew, makes a summary statement because he's not going to go into all the details, right? John said when he wrote his gospel, if I were to write everything down, there wouldn't be enough ink in the world to be able to get what Jesus wanted us to know in a book. Like, it's just, there's too much. And so the authors of these gospels recognize the need for them to put summary statements in. And this is one of those summary statements. But the summary statement always leads somewhere. So in this case, he saw them, they're harassed, and it leads to this statement. He looks at the disciples. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What we find here is Jesus teaching them. So this is our priority to grow. This is our commitment and our need to grow. For us to be able to say, Lord, help me to grow. And Jesus needs these disciples to grow. And so every circumstance becomes a teaching point. Every situation becomes a time for them to understand something and to figure something out. And so he's ministering to all the people, and people, he's having compassion on them. And then it says that he looks at his disciples. Points, I need, guys, do you catch this? There is a huge need. The harvest is plentiful. Speaking of the crowds, speaking of the amount of people that were coming, that were begging for Jesus to minister to them, he said, there is overwhelming. Pray the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the field. Something I think I'm sure any farmer knows, that when the hay is ready, there's a small window of opportunity to get the crop in. Because no one wants to dilly-dally waiting and then have a storm come in and wipe out your crop. That's your livelihood. So you, as soon as it's ready, you get as many people together and you get it in there and you get that harvest collected because the time is short. And this kind of analogy being given in this text here of Jesus saying, I don't know how much time we're going to have to deal with this, and the need is great. So we better rustle up as many people as we can. So pray to the Lord that God will send more and more people into the harvest field. He wants his disciples to learn, to grow, to know. How does he do this? Just in a summary overview, the first, I think, was that they commit. The disciples commit to him. The crowd comes because they need a healing. The crowd comes because they need God to do something. And we have that even today. People that come to me, oh, pastor, can you do my wedding? Oh, pastor, can you do my funeral? They show up because they need something. Oh, pastor, I'm going through a hard time. Can you pray for me? Yes, I'll pray for you. And there are many who come, get what they need, and leave. These are the disciples, and these are the ones who we talked about last week were called by Jesus. They're the ones that made a decision. Jesus, wherever you go, I will go. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lead, I'll follow. I'm committed to you. And so to grow, they first had to make that commitment that I will go with you. So when Jesus works the crowd, after he's worked the crowd, who's with him? The disciples. They are in the best place possible to learn. And I think if we're going to learn, we have to make that same commitment, that I will commit to being with Jesus, to following him, to listening to him, beyond just my own needs, but to actually say, Lord, here I am. What do you want to say to me? And to reflect when he says crazy things like, pray the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. Like his disciples, I'm sure, wondering, what exactly does he mean? There was a lot of questioning going on, but they did. They committed to him, and not just what he said, they committed to hanging out with him. I mean, they left their family, right? They left their livelihoods in order to spend time with him. And there is no growing in Christ without spending time with him. Because you're not just getting his words, you're catching his heart. They were witnessing his compassion. They were witnessing his compassion. Matthew is pointing out, and he had compassion on all of them. They were harassed and helpless. Like, they got to see what motivated Jesus. They got to see where his heart was. And if we're going to be the disciples that grow, then we have to find the heart of God. Again, why times of worship are valuable and not just the preaching. Because it's in the worship where we oftentimes will connect to the heart of God, and then the sermons will validate and extol and bring to better understanding the experiences that we're having with God. They committed to him. They listened to his teaching, right? They listened to his teaching, especially after the big sermons, especially walking down the road, right? To do that. You don't do that much anymore. My wife is not interested in my teaching as I walk down the road. Honey, did you know? I throw things in once in a while, but I have grandkids, and that is a delight. We went for a walk on the dike, and we're talking about how things work, and I'm looking at the river, and I stopped, and I said, boy, look how fast the river is running here, and look how slow it is there. I wonder why that is. And we can talk about that, and we can look at that, and then we can talk about tides and oceans and rivers, and we can understand things just walking around. That is fun, to be able to walk and talk and to be able to see things as we go. Somehow in our Christian life, that's the kind of position we want to be in. We want to be walking and talking with Jesus so that we can continue to grow. And they look for a lesson in their circumstance. They look for some lessons in their circumstance, and we're going to get to this in a moment, but, you know, Jesus put them in some tricky places. And those tricky places were growing opportunities. Hey, why don't you guys feed the 5,000? What? Hey, why don't you guys go? I've been healing and doing all this stuff. Why don't you guys go to all the towns and you heal the people? What? Like, just think about it. Are you insane? You want me to go and do that? Hey, you know what? You know all the different things that he gave them to do. Why don't you go do this? They scratch their heads. They think, but what are we supposed to do? Jesus says, you're going to learn in this experience. I want you to be in a place of dependence. I want you to be in a place where you need me. And so these kinds of lessons and places he put them were growing opportunities. Put them on a storm, in a boat in the middle of a storm. Growing opportunities. So we know that if we're going to grow, we also need to commit to him. We need to listen, and we need to let every circumstance be a learning opportunity. We know that growing in Christ-likeness is a challenging process. So now I come back to the idea we missed the week of prayer. And so I would like us to take today a few minutes and pray that we might grow in Christ. Because there are challenges to it. There is attacks against your growth in Christ. There's your own selfishness, which rears its ugly head all the time. There's the enemy who's constantly bombarding you. And so as we go into this time of prayer, just be thinking about what are the inner things that I need to deal with? What are my motivations? Do I need to surrender? Lord, I'm sorry. I, I, I've failed to make this about you, and today I recommit myself to you. Is it outside sources? Is it, Lord, I'm so sorry. The enemy keeps putting these pressures in front of me, these issues there, and I just stand against that in the name of Jesus. I just need to rebuke the enemy and his work. What do you need to pray in order to be that person who's growing in Christ? Because I could put all kinds of programs in front of you. I mean, our financial peace is part of our growth process, that you would learn and understand things. That's great. But it still doesn't help as much as it does if you would pray and ask God to help you. So for this first little prayer moment, I would like us to take a couple of minutes in quietness. You praying to God for your own personal growth. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and pray in accordance to what you hear. And then we'll wrap up with a prayer. So let's give it about 3-4 minutes of quiet prayer for our personal growth in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for us to grow. Lord, you picked us up out of the mud. You set our feet on solid ground. You cleansed us and gave us new clothes. You transformed our lives. But you're not finished with us yet. And I pray that, God, you would help us, the Lighthouse Church family, and all our friends that we would draw near to, that you would help us to grow, to know you better, to know you more deeply, to become like you. This we pray. Amen. 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 I always think of my house shall be called a house of prayer. So I love it when we take time and we just add extra prayer. Hey, so the second area that we want to grow in is in the area of connecting. The area of connecting. It is critically important that we learn to connect with one another in a godly, biblical way, that we encourage each other. And this is so embedded here in all of the Gospels, but it's embedded even just right here in chapter 10, where he answers the prayer, Lord, send harvest laborers into the harvest field. And then the very next verse in chapter 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. So right off the bat, he appoints the laborers. He says, in fact, they're going to be you. You're going to be the laborer. You're going to go and you're going to be helping expand our effectiveness at meeting the needs of the hurting and the lost and the dying and the wounded and the sick. You're going to go to them, and I'm going to give you my authority. I'm going to give you authority so that you can do what I'm doing. You can lay hands and see them healed, and you can see their lives transformed as you pray over them. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So a ragtag team of 12 people that Jesus put together. Now, last week, chapter 4, he called the first disciples, but we only had the story of the four in this context. But here, Matthew brings to remembrance there were 12 that Jesus put and made them into a team. So the priority of connecting was pretty strong for Jesus, that you are not going to do this alone. That's the critical part. Even Jesus wasn't going to go and do it alone. The first thing he did was call disciples. So this need for us to connect with other people is huge. And I don't know that I've ever seen a time when the enemy has worked harder to make us alone than now, where people are isolated and living at home, where people are streaming everything in on their TVs, and they're able to say, I don't need to go out. In fact, I can skip the dishes. They got commercials now that remind you, I don't even know the list, but there's things on there like, you know, need a razor blade? Just call Uber. Can you go to London Drugs and grab me that? Yeah, sure, and they bring it to you. You don't have to go out anywhere. This pressure constantly towards you don't need to connect with other people runs directly in the face of God's design for us, in that we must connect with other people. We must. And this isn't about getting married. Getting married, oh, you need a husband to complete you. No, you don't. But yes, you do need other people. Yes, you do need friends. Yes, you do need relationships. Absolutely. You need to be connecting with other people. It's critical. So our desire to make this a high priority for us as Lighthouse Church is because it's based on the model that Jesus demonstrated right here. So Jesus models the need for connecting. Jesus models the need for connecting. Jesus made connecting the method for the mission. The method for the mission. You're not going to do it alone. Now, Matthew doesn't state it here, but Luke states it in his version of this, where he sends them out two by two. Even when they scattered, don't go alone. You're going to do this as a team. There was always a team element. Even in the New Testament, in Acts, when they started scattering the church, they went out in teams of people. No one person should be out there on his own. The only one, a couple instances, was Philip. you know, where Philip went out and God just said, go stand by the side of the road. I mean, there were divine appointments, right? But overall, the general model would be that you form community. And in that community, you work together to build the church. You work together to reach lost people, to do the mission. The mission is a task that calls us together. In fact, if I look at this story, how Jesus put the 12 together, whether they liked each other or not was not a criteria. Whether they were got along, whether they all liked fishing, or did they all liked playing games. I don't know. Like, I don't know. There's nothing in here that says the reason they came together as the 12 was because they all enjoyed Trivial Pursuit. I don't know. Make something up. Is there an affinity here? The only affinity that I understand is they were called by God. He made them his own followers, put them together. And then the second would be that they all loved Jesus. They all loved Jesus. The strength of our unity is dependent on our love for Jesus. If we're a church and we don't love Jesus, we will struggle in our fellowship and our commitment to one another. Our affinity is because we love Jesus. That which draws us together. And this became the hallmark of the community of the church for generations, right down till now, is that a group of people who shouldn't be together, who shouldn't be hanging out. In fact, when coffee break comes at the end of the service, for all intents and purposes, you guys should all just leave. I don't understand why you even have coffee and sit around talking for so long, right? Our deacon on duty goes, Pastor Danny, you going to stay? Can you lock up? I want to get going, you know? And they just want to leave. But you're talking and talking and talking. What unites us? Like, what gives us that reason to connect with one another? There is something interesting. It's that fellowship around Jesus that keeps us connected. It's that shared affinity and love and admiration for Jesus. That's why we need to keep doing it. How do they connect? How do these disciples connect? They sacrifice even family in order to be with him. They sacrifice even family. And I talked about that last time, so I don't want to repeat that too much. But just a reminder that a new priority comes in place that even goes above family. When people say to Jesus at the end of this chapter, I'll follow you, Jesus. First, let me go do this. First, let me go do that. No. Okay, no. There's a new priority here. And I say that carefully because, you know, this is not to say be rude to your family, because you have to look after your family. Absolutely, that is a priority. But when the Christian approaches family, there is something a little different the way we do it. It's not a selfishness in the family. It's not like, you know, we're trying to build a wonderful empire for our family where we're going to have the beautiful home and the yard and our kids will have the best of activities and the best of clothes and the best of holidays and get to go to Disneyland. You know, it's like, what are you building? What are you building? You're using your family to build your own little empire. I could almost say it's idol worship. I could almost say that you've made family to become an idol where we're building something and God is somehow not in this anymore. Family is important, but it can't be separated out from God, and it can't be separated out from the priority that we are a family who worship God, right? Who worship God. That's what we do. That's what's important. That's why parents, when you feel the urge, when your kids are telling you, I think church is boring, you keep going. You keep bringing it because our family is united around one cause of Christ. And I always say when your kids are 18, they can go and do what they want. They get to make their own choice. But until that time, we're building a family that's centered on God, our connecting point. But we sacrifice things in order to be known as a people who connect with other people. They spend enough time to truly know each other. The disciples walk on the road and they have dinners together and they talk. They really get to understand each other so they can work together. And they never try to do it alone. They always are working together and connecting. So we know the challenges to creating and maintaining a godly community. We know the pressures on our time that come from the world. Part of the struggles, I think, when I say let's do a week of prayer is I right away in my head hear all of your excuses. And I'll say it, and I want to say it carefully because I don't want it to be rude. But honestly, just such a busy week. I could try to get to one of them. You know, like I think back the old days, we would get every day a week of prayer. So everything went, everything, every day you went to the prayer. It wasn't like pick one this week. It was every day. And I know times have changed, but that's the point. Times have changed. Our culture has grown to a point where both parents, both spouses have to work. There's intense pressures on the family, all that. I get that. But keep in mind, that's not just neutral and independent. That's a culture that's being shaped by the prince of this world who is constantly striving to create pressures that would keep us from living into the kingdom culture and the kingdom values. And therefore, it takes conscious effort on our part to be able to say, if I'm going to commit to the family of God, if I'm going to commit to my brothers and sisters, if I'm going to commit to working together on the mission of God, then I have to take a stand against the pressures of this world and figure something out. Figure something out. I have to do that. And that's the challenge all of us have. So it's never easy, but we make a commitment to it. And those challenges are there. We need wisdom from God. We have personal pleasures that take up our time. We have things that we just want to do, habits and hobbies and things that just take up a lot of time, and they're wonderful. But in the end, we always are evaluating what's the eternal value of this activity. At the end of the day, when we stand before God, we're always going to ask the question, you spent an awful lot of time doing this. How much of it was effective in any kind of ministry? And you go, well, it really wasn't. I was just having fun. Okay, fine, have fun, but let's talk about where your commitment was to the mission, your commitment was to the brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, so those questions are challenging questions that we have to answer, and we need to seek wisdom from God. Pressures, we have judgmentalism, personal judgmentalism, where our experiences have clouded us, and now we react to people with judgmentalism and criticism and harshness. We have unforgiveness, where we don't want to forgive someone. We don't want to let them off the hook. We have issues there that are working against our connecting with each other. And that's pretty serious. So we need to pray for strength that God would help us to be the people we need to be. Amen? So let's take a minute right now. In fact, because we're connecting, let's, in groups of two or three or four, which is whatever is kind of natural around your group, why don't you just turn in that group and one or two of you lead in a prayer. If you keep them short, everybody might be able to lead in a prayer. But if you'd be willing to, and if you don't, and praying out loud is really struggling for you, that's okay. Just don't worry about it. You don't have to. But I'm sure if your groups of three or four, someone there will be willing to pray, okay? And just pray. Whatever comes to your mind, and let the Holy Spirit lead you, that would be a prayer about our need to connect, whether it's praying against something of the enemy or whether it's praying for strength for something, for wisdom for something, you discern it and pray. Just lead in a prayer, okay? Let's do that right now. Groups of three or four, and let's pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If Jesus cried his eyes out in the high priestly prayer, oh God, make them one. Oh Lord, make them one. This is a great prayer. Lord, help us to be connected in unity. And it's a great prayer. I'm going to, in fact, I'm going to invite Evan to come on up now. I'm going to just wrap up with a pointer on this third one, which is the area of serving. I often said that in our need for connecting, the base is our relationship with Christ. It's growing in Christ. Growth is the base from which we operate, you know, and then connecting is the way we would do it. We don't ever want to do it alone. But the motivation or the goal, the thing that drives us forward is the mission. And in this case, John chapter 10 goes on to explain how Jesus sent them out, go. And we started Matthew series by pointing out Matthew 28, where Matthew is wanting to get to. He wants to get to the point where he says, therefore, go and proclaim the gospel, right? So that message of going is in every single place in the story of Matthew, including this one, where, please remember the mission of God. We're going to continue the work of Christ. Keep going, keep going, keep going. It's about going. So as you look at that, we often leave out the missional component. We find ourselves enjoying each other's company, having coffee, going to church, loving Jesus, having a good worship service, and then we go home. But we become off kilter when we haven't got the missional component. It has to be including we need to grow, we need to serve. We serve each other. We serve the kingdom. We serve Jesus. We serve the mission. But that's our activity. We get out there and get doing stuff. And I know this church, we've got lots of great things that we're doing, and it's wonderful, but let's always keep that before us. And so I'm going to leave it for you as your prayer challenge to keep praying that God would help you to know where you should serve. And you can't, I know, I feel like sometimes it's like we have a goal, 15 people baptized. And we felt like we need to serve the mission of God. We need to see people get baptized as an indication that they've been transformed. And if we don't see that, we got to ask ourselves, what's wrong? Go back to the beginning and say, are we missing something? Why are people not getting saved? That's what we need to keep looking at. So we put 15 people. The danger, I thought, of 15 is that who is responsible to get those 15? If I said 140, then I could say, okay, I'm assigning each one of you one. Oh, me? Yes. Well, if we're going to do 140, everyone should get one. Spread the load out, okay? But we said 15, I think because we're being maybe more realistic. But that's not 15 as in, oh, 15 people somewhere will bring them to faith in Christ, not me. The goal was we will work together to find those 15. So you have to be a part of this thing. So as you pray about your serving, ask yourself, Lord, where are the people I am called to minister to? Maybe the one that you call me to will be one of the 15. And it may be a friend you've been working with for years. It may be somebody that you meet this week who says, oh, can I come to church with you? Heard a story of that last night of somebody who just said, can I come to church with you? Another friend of mine said, hey, do you want to come to our church? I would love to. And within days was saved and serving Jesus. It may be that easy. I don't know. But I just know you got to put your mind toward it. You got to focus on that. And we got to keep praying into that. So maybe Evan's going to tell us a little bit about some more prayer opportunities where we could get serious about praying for the lost so that we could keep serving. Okay?
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.